Hello, everyone. Before I start the episode, I wanted to say thank you to everyone who has listened, downloaded, and shared this podcast. We are always trying to improve, and all the feedback you have given us has been great. I would also like to encourage you to subscribe to our daily newsletter to stay up to date on the newest podcast episodes, industry insights, and Mercator Advisor Group commentary. Again, thank you to everyone who comes and listens to our episodes, and now, on with the show.
Welcome to the Bemis Journal Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack, and on today's episode, we're going to be talking about loyalty. And to help me with that conversation, I have Barry Kirk, the Vice President of Loyalty Strategy at Merit's Loyalty. Barry, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm really happy to be here today.
Excellent. So to get things started, can you give our listeners a little bit of an overview about your organization and what it does and kind of its role within the payments industry?
Yeah, absolutely. So Merit's Loyalty is a company that, just like it sounds, we focus on attracting, engaging, and retaining a company's best customers, and with a particular focus in our practice on behavioral science and artificial intelligence as the best path into that. So we generally work with very, very large brands that have oftentimes tens of millions of customers. And their goal is, how do I really retain those very best customers I have? And how do I attract new customers and grow them to look like those best customers? And a lot of the work that we do, frankly, around loyalty is within the banking and credit card space.
Great. Certainly. Thank you for that overview there. Now, Merit's Loyalty recently did a market study looking at loyalty here. So can you, from that study, how would you describe the correlation between brand loyalty and reward spending habits?
Yeah, so it's a really interesting insight that came from a number of the responses in the study. So we conducted this study and published it earlier this year with an organization called The Wise Marketer, where we talked to 2,000 U.S.-based consumers to really get at how are they thinking and feeling about the loyalty program experience. And so much of what we think about in loyalty is in terms of, well, is somebody transacting? Right? Am I getting deposits? Are they using products to the bank? Or if I have my credit card product, am I literally getting card swipes transactions? This is something that we refer to often as mercenary loyalty, where it's very transactional and where essentially I'm paying a customer to be loyal. It's essentially 90% really of what loyalty is in the United States right now is it fits in that category of like, I'm paying you to love my brand. And that's not a bad thing. Those programs work fairly well, but there's a secret that kind of underlies that, which is that transactions are not necessarily the same thing as attachment to a brand. We also talk about something called inertia loyalty, which is essentially where, well, I'm really just your customer because I feel stuck or I just don't have the time to go find somebody else. I don't have time to go and source out a new credit card and switch over to that product. And interestingly, what customers told us in this study was when they're looking at, for instance, banks, they're putting way more weight on loyalty based on service than they are on the financial value, right? So that mercenary offer, that gets about a 46% response out of the study as to, is that my primary driver of loyalty? But 71% of customers said that their top driver for loyalty from a bank is actually on the service side, not on the points they earn or the rewards they receive. It's a little different on the credit card side. When you look at credit card relationships, what customers are telling us is it's actually pretty even. They're balancing the value of the experience that they get with the card and the service they get on it with the value they get, say, in points. So it's very, very important as we look at this question that we don't just assume it's about nothing but transactions and it's about nothing but some kind of reward or might actually call it a bribe to get somebody to be your customer. You've really got to be as focused now on the service side and the experience side of what you're offering.
Yeah, no, certainly great point there. I definitely agree. And I can speak, kind of from my own personal experience and kind of, I'd say about a year or two, I recently switched financial institutions. And it really was that service level that got me to switch, mainly just because, being within the millennial category and kind of being a typical millennial, mobile payments kind of really was a big factor for me. And was looking at the financial institution that I was at, and they kind of said, hey, look, we're not really looking at, incorporating mobile payments into it. you know, hey, this might be something we look forward to later down the line, but this other financial institution that I was looking at did. So for me in particular, I do completely agree that, you know, when it comes to the financial institutions, it's really that level of service and not necessarily the reward points that I'm getting for it. But when we're speaking about rewards here, so what, you know, why do you think consumers save their rewards points but not be inclined to redeem them?
Yeah, this was a really interesting finding from the study that frankly surprised me a little bit, which is the number of consumers who said, you know what, when I'm in a program, I'm not really that focused on just burning my points as soon as I can. 73% of respondents said my primary objective in the program is to save my points up for some future reward. About 50% of those savers said I have a specific reward in mind, but the other half said, really, I'm just saving. That's what attracts me, and that's what makes me feel like I've got value, is I'm just accumulating points for whenever I want to redeem them. Here's why that's really important. There has been a tendency in the legacy loyalty environment to look at redemption and say, well, if a customer isn't redeeming their points, they are actually not an engaged customer. And what we're finding is there's a little different psychology at play there, that in fact, if I'm saving my points, so that means I'm not redeeming, but I'm continuing to transact and I'm continuing to use your products. I'm continuing to engage with online bill pay and with other aspects of the bank, for instance. I may be just or perhaps more engaged than the customer who continually earns just enough points to redeem for a $5 gift card, redeems and goes out. The customer who's redeeming at those very low levels is a customer who could easily leave you tomorrow. The one that is actually storing up points for some significantly larger future reward is a customer who arguably has more stickiness with your brand. And so that's the thing that frankly is not intuitive oftentimes when we look at it, but the data is telling us we've got to rethink that sort of value prop.
Yeah. So do you really think that there's an opportunity here for financial institutions to kind of almost get a win-win? Because as we were talking about before, you know, it's that consumers are looking at the level of service that they're there. And so is it an opportunity for financial institutions to say, hey, look, we see that this customer's saving up all these reward points. Should we really go out and ask them, being like, hey, you know, what is it that you're saving up for? Can we help you? Is there a way that we can help to expedite you to get to that reward you know, value that you're looking for to be able to redeem them? So do you think that there's an opportunity there for financial institutions?
Absolutely. So one of the things we might want to look at in a case like that where you have a lot of savers is, well, I've got a lot of points. What is valuable for me from a point standpoint? Like what are the higher value rewards that you have in your catalog? Frankly, what I can tell you is across almost every financial loyalty program in the market, if you looked at what customers have traditionally redeemed for, it has been something that looks more like cash, whether that's gift cards or literally cash back. And if that's what customers want to redeem for, great, you should have that in there. There is some reason to have some hesitation about a lot of that kind of redemption because, frankly, it has a very low, what I would call, memory halo. If I'm redeeming for cash or I'm redeeming for very low denomination gift cards, I'm probably not even going to remember that particular redemption at some later point. What we're actually seeing, interestingly, though, as a trend right now, particularly with millennials, is an interest in redeeming for experiences, especially for small experiences, like, say, I could redeem my points for a spa day or dinner at some really amazing restaurant, right? Well, that's going to have a much better memory halo. I'm going to remember that dinner. I'm going to remember that massage I got through my points through my bank, much more so than I am the $5 gift card. But what's actually more important than saying, well, I've got sort of wide range of reward opportunities, is making sure that I point the customer at the reward opportunity that's going to be most meaningful to them. And I think that was really the essence of your questions. One of the ways that we've started to get much, much more scientific about that is through artificial intelligence. We had a project recently we did that was pretty widely published in the New York Times and other places with HSBC. Where we designed out an AI that helped predict what their loyalty program members would redeem for that was different from what they redeemed for today. And it wasn't a guess, it was actually using a mountain of data, transactional data, redemption data, demographic data, to try to point out to say, well, Ryan redeems for one thing today. What other thing might he redeem for that would be just as enjoyable or maybe more so for him? And the algorithm predicted with a 70% accuracy rate what this other thing might be. That what that essentially means is when we ran the campaign, 70% of the people who redeemed for exactly what the AI predicted they would want to redeem for. And the final point of that is, downstream from that particular campaign, we actually see the customers who were engaged through what the AI predicted are actually seeing an increased level of spend on that card and an increased level of engagement. So that's why it's so important that we begin to think in loyalty in terms of sort of behavioral science side, what we know about people and what drives them, but also what data can be used, funneled through artificial intelligence, to actually help us predict better what they might enjoy and what might make that great experience.
Right. And I think that this kind of a great segue here into the next question that I have for you is, so what tips would you offer card companies that want to better connect with their loyalty program customers?
Well, so let me talk about the behavioral science side of that for a minute. And if you think about what can a bank do, what can a financial institution do to better engage customers in something beyond mercenary loyalty, right? Move beyond, not, you know, it's great to offer points and rewards. You probably need to have that to be competitive. But if we've got this significant percentage of consumers saying, hey, the experience is more important or at least just as important to me, you've got to build an experience. Well, the first thing I'd say then is, well, what are the experiences in life that people find interesting, and can we sort of recreate that? One of the things we know from the behavioral sciences is that predictability is not particularly interesting, right? Things that are highly predictable that I experience all the time, the brain actually stops paying attention to. So I would suggest that one thing that this is probably not in the DNA of a lot of people who work in banks, but it needs to be, is how do we make our loyalty program more surprising? How do we make it less predictable? How do we have really interesting things that kind of pop up and come and go on that program? That can be in terms of campaigns, but frankly, too many banks, I think, would interpret what I just said as, okay, does that mean another bonus campaign? And that's definitely not what I'm talking about. We probably have too many bonus campaigns going on in the financial services space. It would be more saying there are certain reward opportunities that have a very short shelf life. Like literally, maybe they're only available for a few hours in a given month. And you have to kind of watch for the announcement of when that's going to come. Maybe that announcement's only going to come a day before, so I have to watch for that. And then the window of opportunity to redeem for that really amazing limited time reward is maybe 2 hours long. And I think you can see, just as I described that, how much more interesting that is than a set of rewards, which I already know are there and are always going to be there and available whenever I get to it, right? That second scenario doesn't drive much immediacy of behavior. But the first scenario, because I have to pay attention, and because I'm not exactly sure what is going to happen with it, gives me much more reason to pay attention to that. So I think there are a lot of things that banks can do around that, but that's actually a pretty small way to get started, of just fine-tuning the experience of something that's worth the customer paying attention to.
Excellent. No, I certainly agree with that, you know, especially kind of around the whole, like, it's not a one size fits all, which I think a lot of people kind of get trapped into. It really has to be that kind of customized, tailored experience and bringing that excitement level to it. And I really think that you hit it very well in kind of saying that if it's the same old, well, okay, it's exciting for me maybe the first week or so that I sign up for the program because it's new to me at that particular time. But over the length of the program, it kind of becomes all right, well, there's no excitement. There's no reason for me to return to that loyalty program to really see, like, okay, is there anything else that I need to be paying attention to here and keep engaged with that loyalty program as much? So I definitely think really great point there. Now, another thing that I want to pull out from the market study that was conducted, and if I could get some definitions of these next two terms first before I ask the question, I think it'll help kind of lay the foundation for it. So the market study kind of created two personas or some personas of individuals. And the first one is a transient loyalists for loyalty programs. And also that there was resolute loyalist as well too. Could you define both of those for us first before we break into the next question?
Yeah, sure. So transient loyalists we define as customers who have identified brands that they feel connected to. But those same customers are saying, yeah, I like the brands that I'm connected to that I buy from today, but I am pretty much always looking for the next better relationship. So I'm always kind of shopping around. I've got an eye out for who's got the better deal, who's got the better offer, who might be offering a better experience. The resolute loyalists are consumers who say, for the most part, once they attach to a brand, they stop looking around. They are fixed on that brand. So, you know, for instance, for me, like my resolute loyalty is to Starbucks, a brand that I have what I would call cult loyalty to. I know I'm paying too much for a cup of coffee when I go there, but I have never compared Starbucks coffee to anybody else because that's my brand. But we have customers who fit into both those categories. But what it really tells us from looking at the study data is 68% of consumers say that they are transient loyalists, where only 29% say they're resolute. And what that says to me is there is a lot of consumer brand loyalty constantly in play in the marketplace. And so brands who feel like, well, you know, our customers who buy from us today are going to keep buying from us, this data would suggest you should never assume that. Retention is always going to be a challenge because the majority of consumers are constantly looking around for something better.
So that really leads us into the next question here. So how can companies work to change customers from, you know, as we pointed out, the transient or those who are just in it for the rewards to, as you pointed out, the cult loyalist who identify with the brand, such as what you might find with people with Apple or Starbucks?
Well, so part of it might be that there's a segment of your customer base that you can't shift, right? So we could just kind of accept that probably through the right data analysis, we could identify who in a given category maybe is a transient loyalist, and you're just going to have to continually barrage them with offers and messages. But there is likely a segment of your customer base who are only transient because you have not fine-tuned the experience yet to where it's like, bam, that's it. That's the experience I've been looking for, and now that you're offering it to me, I have now become a resolute loyalist. I think we would say that the biggest move you have to make in order to achieve that is you've got to move from what are predominantly those mercenary loyalty tactics, where it's all about an offer or a discount or bonus points, because the reason that sets you up for transient loyalty is because the mercenary offer, by the very definition of it, is an offer where I should always be looking for somebody to give me something better. That's the very definition of a mercenary, right? I go wherever the highest pay is. That's where my loyalty is. So if all you're putting in front of me is mercenary offers, you're basically telling me this is how you should think about this market that we're in. But if you begin to change the way you attract a customer into either true loyalty, which is experience-based, so you're offering me interesting or elevated experiences. And you could, by the way, you could, you know, tell me I have to earn those experiences, right? So through more transactions, I actually get to move up. But once I move up in your loyalty program, interesting new benefits and access begin to open up for me. That's a good way to change people into this more resolute loyalty. The other one that's a little more challenging, what I referred to earlier as cult loyalty, is loyalty where it's just as much about the tribe of people who have connected to the brand as it is my identification with the brand itself. It could also be around brand values. I have values as a consumer, and if I feel like the brand is matching those values, then I can feel a stronger or more resolute connection to that brand that has nothing to do, frankly, with the financial value I'm getting. It has a lot more to do with sort of the core part of me. So how do you do that? A brand would need to talk about values. A brand would need to understand better, probably through survey research, what is important to me and what are the right words to use with me. And the other thing is bringing in a social component, which could be as simple as giving me opportunities within the loyalty program to connect to social causes, like say after a major hurricane, is hurricane relief an option that you immediately bring up in the loyalty program so that I can donate my points to that? That's a way to make me feel like this is more than just about earning points and getting a discount back from the financial institution. It's about the way it helps me connect into what's important to me in the world and feel like I'm making a difference. So there are many, many ways to do that. The first question is just to ask yourself, how do we move this out of that mercenary experience? What could we be doing that feels more like true loyalty and cult loyalty?
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for taking the time today, Bear, for speaking to us about loyalty, and we hope to have you back on the podcast real soon.
Thanks. I enjoyed it.